cash, every movie costs $2,184.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Backtracks, the music. My name is Corey Morissette, joined as always by my good friend, John Mariano. How are you doing today, John?
I'm all right.
Oh, just all right. What's wrong, friend?
It's midsummer. It's not quite like we haven't hit July 4th here in the States yet. So it's like we're not quite into summer yet. So it's like that hazy time in between school ended. Kids are home. I don't know about you, but I look forward to football season this time of year. So I got the summertime blues.
See, I tell you, I'm Canadian, so I got Canadian football. We just been through the first 2 weeks, so I'm right. I've been in football mode for a month now, so I can't relate. I am missing my New York Giants. I'm cautiously optimistic about their prospects this season, but I've got CFL to tide me over.
I mean, who's the big team up there?
Well, the reigning champions are the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. They won back-to-back championships.
Is Doug Flutie still playing up there?
He is not. He retired a few months ago. And no, actually, it was more like, 10, 20 years ago he retired. But he played for the Toronto Argonauts and the Calgary Stampeders and led both to Grey Cup championships.
Yeah, I was a big Flutie fan. I dig the flute. But we're not here to talk about football. Tonight, we're here to talk about boxing.
Yes, we are. And I know the last two shows, we had our good friend Jeff Saunders on, and he picked a couple of TV theme songs, one from a show he'd never watched, which I found was strange. And then the other one, we got to geek out a little bit about Cheers. That was a lot of fun. But I wanted to get back to the movies, and I wanted to get back to a little rock and roll. And one of the all-time classic 80s soundtracks is Rocky IV. John, I know you know this movie. And I know you know this soundtrack. It went 9 times platinum.
This movie is in my lifeblood. The song that you picked is part of my DNA. This might be my favorite thing that we've ever recorded together, and we haven't even recorded it yet.
And I know what I said. I wanted something from Rocky IV. You were looking a little nervous, and I'm going through the songs like, I love Survivor. I love Burning Heart. I love John Cafferty, even though he's minus the Beaver Brown Band. He's got a great song on here. I love the Vince DiCola orchestral stuff, like the training montage.
There is one choice on this soundtrack, Corey. There's one choice.
I picked it. That's the point. We're going with Robert Tepper's No Easy Way Out tonight, and I can't wait. It's my favorite cut off the Rocky IV soundtrack, and arguably the best montage in a movie full of musical montages. This one and the training montage, I think, are the top two.
This is arguably the best montage in movie history.
It depends on what you're grading by. If you're throwing a healthy dose of cheese in there, because, of course, you got Sylvester Stallone in his car looking angsty over shots of Apollo dying, and they do it to the entire song. The entire 4-minute, 22-second song is just shots of Apollo dying and Rocky looking upset.
My question to you is, like, you say that as if it's a choice. What part of the song are you cutting out of the movie to make it shorter?
I don't. Yeah, you're right. I don't think you can. You're right. But like the original cut of Rocky was what, like an hour and a half? It's 90% montages.
There are now two versions of Rocky IV. There's Rocky IV and Rocky versus Drago, which they released last year. Correct. Both of them have the 4-minute and 22-second montage scene in it. That's so true. It just goes to show you, you can edit out the robot, but you cannot edit out the montage.
That's right. The training montage and the No Easy Way Out montage left completely intact. That's a very good point. Short story here, John. Back in 1985, I lived in a town that was about 15 minutes from the American border. So we were just half an hour away from a town called Plentywood, Montana. So we would go to Plentywood every weekend to drink cheap, shitty American beer. Buy $2 packs of smokes and go to movies because we didn't have a theater where I grew up. And I remember going to the old theater in Plentywood, Montana, sitting in the upper balcony. This theater held like 500 people and watching Rocky IV with a bunch of Americans. And when that movie let out, I swear every single person there felt like they could take on the whole world. There were shadow box. Everyone was pumped up. Like, you talk about a feel good movie. As a Canadian, I felt good. As an American, holy shit.
So wait, I have some concerns here, Corey, because we're not that much different in age. In 85, I was, I don't know, like eight-ish, right? So let's say, for argument's sake, you're even 8 years older than me. You're not. But let's say you are. That you're drinking and smoking five packs a day in Pennywood, Montana, I have concerns.
I didn't say I was drinking in 1985. I was 11 years old in 1985.
Didn't you say you were going over the boat to drink and smoke?
Continuously from the time I was 10 until I was like, you know, 16.
Like, I heard that story, right? Yeah.
But I wasn't drinking and smoking specifically in 1985. I did that all the way through, you know, middle school and high school.
Okay, folks, here's what I want you to do. Come to our Twitter handle and do me a favor and just let Corey hear it on what you heard there. Because I'm pretty sure I heard that 10-year-old Corey was drinking and smoking like a fiend in Pennywood, Montana.
I'm pretty sure you don't pay attention when I speak, John.
I was giving you my full attention.
Well, if I alluded to that, I'm sorry. I did get drunk quite a bit. I remember my 15th birthday going to see the strippers in Pennywood, Montana. That was a lot of fun. Back then, it was really easy to fake an ID, a Saskatchewan driver's license. You can't do that now so much, but back then it was a pretty easy process. But I was stone cold sober in 1985, and I had my Mike and Ikes, which is a candy you can't get in Canada, but you can in America, watching Rocky IV and having just the best time.
You picked one of the movies that's nearest and dearest to my heart. We could do this movie, I don't know, about 8 to 10 times and pull each song off the soundtrack, and I would still be happy.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, Rocky defeated communism through punches. It's amazing.
Yeah, except it was a movie.
Yeah, I guess. What do you say, John? What do you know about Robert Tepper? He's a guy I don't really know that much about. His biggest hit, obviously, was No Way Out from Rocky IV. He also co-wrote a song called Into the Night with Benny Mardones. But I really don't know that much about him.
I mean, you're trying to throw me on the spot on who Robert Tepper is. As I procrastinate and maybe look him up a little bit and give you a little bit that Robert Tepper is an American songwriter. He's a recording artist, and he's best known for the hit song No Easy Way Out from the motion picture Rocky IV. Right?
Did he also get a song for Cobra?
Did he?
Well, that's what I'm reading here. Actually, No Way Out was included in Cobra as well.
He also co-wrote the hit song Into the Night with Benny Mardones.
Yeah, I said that already.
Well, I know that, but I'm just repeating what you said because I don't know much about this guy. But he's born in Bayonne, New Jersey, moved to New York. I mean, I can read his Wikipedia page. I don't know much about Robert Tepper. He's a little bit more or around about what we would call a one-hit wonder, but the one hit was in one of the biggest movies of the year, one of the biggest movies of all time. And I will say this, because we're also a movie show here, that the Rocky, we always hear people debating what are the best franchises, and it's always Star Wars and Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter. Pound for pound, dollar for dollar, the Rocky franchise is easily the best franchise of any movie franchise. It has one movie I consider a bad movie, and not just I consider bad movie, I think it's universally considered a bad movie. It might have some ups and downs throughout the series. Some people debate whether or not 4 gets a little bit too cheesy. Some people say 4 is the best movie of the series. So some people say it starts a little slow with 1. Some people say 1 is one of the greatest movies of all time. 2 is my personal favorite. You can pick any of these first 4 Rocky movies, I feel, and say it's your favorite Rocky movie, and it's a fair argument. Rocky Balboa, which is Rocky VI, is an amazing movie on its own.
My all-time favorite is Rocky Balboa, because it's not so much about boxing. It's about a man saying goodbye and letting go, and I love that about that movie.
And then you get the Creeds, right? So we have Creed 1 and we have Creed 2. And we have Creed 3 coming out next year, and I have all the faith in the world that that's also going to be a great movie. So you have a franchise that's done what Harry Potter couldn't do, which is even its follow-up series are excellent movies, right? Rocky V, we don't really talk about. Rocky V isn't a great movie. There's enough that you could pull out of it. The Mickey speech in Rocky V is the best speech, boxing speech, probably in movie history, right? Like, there are parts of Rocky V that are good, but as a whole, it's a pretty weak entry to the franchise. But there are a lot of franchises where, you know, you have people arguing entire trilogies or entries to a franchise are weak. You don't get that with Rocky, right? You have where, like, people say Jaws is definitively a good movie, and then, like, Jaws 2 is a good horror movie, but not necessarily a great movie, and then it falls off after that. So it's like half the franchise. Jurassic Park is definitively a good movie, and then where the franchise goes from there is up for debate, right? And these are some of my examples. You could argue that The Lord of the Rings is great on its own, but The Hobbit has its detractors, right? So I think you see what I'm getting at is that most franchises, about half of the franchise is up for debate. When you get to Rocky, you don't get that. You even get that to a degree with some of the Rambos, although a lot of the Rambos are pretty strong, although not as good as the Rockies. And you definitely get that with the Terminator, where it's like the first two Terminators are great, and then where it goes after that, nobody knows.
It's an interesting point, because like you said, there is a pretty big drop-off. And you mentioned Rocky V being the weakest in the series, I think, by far. There's still some interesting themes and interesting things in Rocky V.
Yeah, I just wanted to make that point, because I see all of these internet debates. We're part of these online movie communities, and I don't think there's nearly enough love for this Rocky franchise and the strength of this franchise.
You know what? I agree with you. What do you say? I'm itching to hear some Robert Tepper. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Here we go.
I'm stopping you right away. The second the bass line kicks into this song, I'm 100% into the song, into the montage, into the whole thing, right? It's like you start off with the little keyboard and very synth in 80s, and the second the bass line kicks in, I'm all in on this.
It's an amazing bass line. I love that it's just the entire melody of the song played on the bass with the little drop note and everything. It's absolutely fantastic. So you mentioned the kind of the 80s sound. You get that electronic drum in there, and of course the synths. But, you know, there's a little guitar in there too, like it all working together like a really good souffle. Like it all just kind of rises together, and it just works.
It works very well. It sets a tone. And, you know, this is theme music. And a lot of the theme of this scene and of this movie, to a degree, is Rocky being backed into a corner. And, you know, the song's No Easy Way Out, but when you look at, you know, what his choices are here to fight Drago and confront the murderer of Apollo, you know, on his terms, in his land, you know, where Rocky's already kind of been told he can't take a lot more of these punches to the head because Clubber Lang gave him such a bad concussion in the last movie. It's really interesting how well this song in particular nails our show on the head with being the theme of the movie.
And the theme of this scene, because remember, he's just coming off that big fight with Adrian where she tells him flat out, you can't win. Right, and he's reconciling that, and the lyrics of this song play into that. We're not indestructible, giving in can't be wrong. Like, really listen to the lyrical content coming off that big fight with Adrian, which is a great scene. Talia Shire is probably one of her best scenes in the entire series of films, with where Rocky's headspace is. It works perfectly.
Yeah, it's arguably one of her best scenes in her career, and it's no slight on Talia Shire. It's there's a lot of meat on the bone for an actor in this scene, and she chews the scene up and really delivers the emotion needed leading into this montage that sells it.
We're not indestructible.
I want to cut it off there because I just want to talk quick about the lyrics there. Some things are worth fighting for. Some feelings never die. I'm not asking for another chance. I just want to know why. That's a theme that carries through Rocky, not even this movie, but in the subsequent movies, was the whole loss of Apollo and all that. That's summed up very well in that verse.
Can you imagine being Stallone hearing this song for the first time as they're putting this movie together? I'm assuming he probably heard it in the editing room or while they were filming and starting to piece together how it was going to go. Stallone directs Rocky IV, right? So it's very famously, it's his baby. So he's doing so much from writing to directing to acting and really trying to capture some of that magic from Rocky, because he's chasing that demon of, how great the original Rocky was. And here we are, and he gets presented with this song. Now, previously we had Survivor's Eye of the Tiger come, which was a monster hit coming out of Rocky III. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's almost an impossible task to follow it up. And I feel like it doesn't get the same love as Eye of the Tiger on the radio necessarily. I feel like this is the better song, and this is the better use of a song in a movie.
Interesting. Eye of the Tiger worked awfully well in Rocky III. Not quite so much in Rocky IV. It's on that soundtrack as well. Sly liked it so much, he put it back on IV.
Yeah, I I'm not trying to knock Eye of the Tiger. Like, I know Eye of the Tiger is one of the great soundtrack songs of all time. Mm-hmm. However, I think that this song, this use of the song, the emotion of this scene, for me, carries more weight in the franchise.
Well, emotionally, absolutely. That's a good point.
There's no easy way out. There's no shortcut home. There's no easy way out. Giving in can't be wrong. I don't want to pass the fan. I don't want to drag you down. But I'm feeling like a prisoner.
Now, I don't know if No Way Out or No Easy Way Out was written specifically for Rocky, but when you get lines like talking about what might have been, and I'm thinking about what I used to be. Right, like that sums up so well where Rocky is in this story.
Yeah, no, it hits the themes and it hits the notes of the story on the head, and it works so perfectly with the movie. I think you're right. Like, I'm trying to see if it was written for Rocky, but I can tell you it's pitch perfect song choice one way or the other. So I just found it, Corey. Stallone found the track. It was one of four tracks that Tepper had released under the Scotti Brothers label. And Stallone loved the track and you chose to use the track. So it wasn't written for the film particularly, but it is so perfect for the film. Mm-hmm. You know, how Stallone came across it, I don't know, but he really nails it by choosing it and picking on the soundtrack. It's not like Tepper was a well-known artist. So this is Stallone using some of his, you know, movie connections to find the right song for his soundtrack.
And Scotti Brothers was the label that released Rocky IV and Rocky III. So Stallone had a working relationship with them. So it was kind of serendipitous that he was able to find an artist on the same label and find the exact song that, that fit his movie. A little bit of movie magic, Hollywood magic in there, in that these two were able to link up because it's the perfect marriage of movie and song. And that's kind of what we're here talking about.
Baby, baby, we can share this skin. We can know how we feel inside. Instead of going down an endless road, not knowing if we did or lied. Something's all worth fighting for. Some feelings never die. I'm not asking for another chance. I just wanna know why.
Have you ever, like, I used to go on long drives to fit, have deep thoughts in my car. Have you ever listened to this song in your car?
All the time. All the time.
Like, I feel like if folks listening to this show haven't done that, it's something you need to do in your lifetime. Like, just throw the song on the playlist and go for a drive. Right? I guess a 4-minute drive, so go drive and go get a coffee or something, but go in deep thought, like you're on the toilet or something, and listen to the song because it is perfect for that kind of thing.
It takes me right back to 1985 and seeing this movie. And, you know, even this year when I saw the Rocky versus Drago director's cut and how much Sly changed in the tone of the film. But this scene is still there and still works amazingly well. To me, this is the perfect example of why we're doing this show. Originally, we picked a bunch of songs that we kind of liked that fit the theme of the scenes and the movies and stuff. But this is, like I said, the perfect marriage of music and movie that I can think of. Right, that's No Easy Way Out by Robert Tepper from the Rocky IV soundtrack. Another thing I love about soundtracks, John, is that it gives a showcase for artists like Robert Tepper, who never had a breakout hit or anything. Solo career didn't really amount to much, but he had a top 40 hit with No Easy Way Out. And I love being able to discover artists like that.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, we're coming up on a big anniversary for Rocky IV soon. And inevitably, I hope there's a re-release of the soundtrack and Robert gets back to the top 40, because there's no doubt if this song gets re-released in 2025 that we're going to hear this on all the radio stations and all the playlists or whatever we have going on 3 years from now.
Yep, I agree. And actually, in 2006, The soundtrack was remastered and re-released. It also featured the bonus track Man Against the World by Survivor, which was a song that was written for the film but ultimately cut from the final movie. And also, the hard rock band Eve to Adam released a cover of No Easy Way Out that might be interesting to check out. That was in 2018.
Interesting. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, as shall I. But I have a feeling, John, we're going to be revisiting this soundtrack as we go through this little journey here on Backtrack Steam Music and compiling our Spotify playlist here. There's some other great tracks on this soundtrack.
Yeah, no. I mean, look, this is... We could have done an entire podcast on this soundtrack, right? And we could have done a movie podcast on these movies, just rewatching them. You know, if you're not familiar with the Rocky movies, I don't know why you're listening to these shows, but if you are and you haven't seen them, just go make it a priority to go binge them, right? Like, plow through them. I just recently rewatched all of them with my kids. I have two girls. One's almost 12 and the other one's 10. And they weren't crazy about Rocky One. It was a little bit too slowly paced for them. I said, can you guys do me a favor and give it one more movie? And if you dig that movie, I have a feeling you're going to want to see the rest. And it was like a big commitment to say, we're going to watch the rest, but I needed the rest from watching Harry Potter movies. and they gave in, we got through Rocky II, and within a week we had seen all of the Rockies and the Creeds. And now they are highly anticipating Creed 3 next year with me. So, like I said, this is a very easy franchise to fall in love with.
It is. And you're a much better dad than I am, because I sat down with my 10-year-old because I just got Rocky versus Drago and I wanted to watch it. And she's like, I'll watch it with you. I had no idea who the hell Rocky was or anything. She loved that movie. So now we're going to have to go back and we're going to start with one and we're going to watch them all again in anticipation of Creed 3, directed by Michael B. Jordan. I'm looking forward to that. I know nothing about the story, but the first two Creeds knocked it out of the park. So I'm anticipating the same with the third one.
Yeah, I believe Drago's kid's coming back for this one.
Okay.
So, look, I'm all in. Like, just give me more of this world. I'm not even a huge boxing fan. Like, I don't love the boxing sport. I watched a bunch of Tyson fights in the 80s and 90s or whatever it was, and that was about it. I'm not a huge fan of the sport of boxing, but give me movie boxing any day of the week.
And you know what? Creed 3, let's bring back Robert Tepper. He's still around as far as I know. Let's get Robert to, do another song. I bet you he's got another one in him that's going to be on.
You know what? If he doesn't come back for Creed 3, there is a rumor that Stallone's working on a final chapter of Rocky and writing that up. And by all means, if that's in the works, bring back Robert Tepper, bring back Survivor, bring back Mr. T. Give me all of it.
Absolutely. All right, John, let's wrap it up for this week. Where can the fine folks find you online?
The fine folks can find me on this little Aerosmith podcast that I do with my buddy Corey called Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. They can find me on Twitter at JohnMarianoNY and hear me be grumpy and probably complaining about the food I just ate.
There you have it. You can find me also on the Aerosmith show. You can also find me on our Van Halen show that I do with Mark Kammeyer called And the Podcast Still Rock. And if you have any ideas for another Backtrack show you want John and I to do, maybe you want us to do Backtrack's Polka Party where we talk about Frankie Yankovic for a couple hours. I don't know. We're up for pretty much anything. So drop us a line and let us know. You can follow us on Twitter at BT Theme Music, I believe. Is that correct, John?
Yeah, that's us.
Perfect. All right. So on behalf of John Mariano, my name is Corey Marcia. Thank you very much for listening tonight. And we will see you next time on Backtracks Theme Music.
Before there were reasons to fight I could understand, but I don't understand this. Even if you win, what have you won? Apollo's still gone. Why can't you change your thinking? Everybody else does.
Because I'm a fighter. That's the way I'm made, Adrian. That's what you married. We can't change what we are. Can't change anything, Adrian. All we can do is just go with what we are.
You can't go with what you are. Have you read the papers? Do you know what everybody says? It's suicide. You've seen him. You You know how strong he is. You can't win!